John chapter number one, we are in our series called Fellowship Divine, and there is a lot of confusion out there amongst people about the difference between fellowship and relationship. The word fellowship, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to share with you some things. I use the King James Bible Dictionary online. It's called kjvbible.com or BibleDictionary.com. I also use the Webster's 1828 Dictionary.com because it gives you the closest definition to the 1611 English. The word fellowship with God means consisting in the knowledge of His will, you know, that I'm there, I'm in the middle of it. There's nothing between us that's not in agreement with His designs. We have mutual affection for each other. We enjoy each other's presence, I'm being conformed to His image, and I'm participating in His blessings. I mean, that's what fellowship means, that accord, that oneness, that intimacy, and all the things that come from being in fellowship with God. Now, last week, we looked at the person of the fellowship, and that's Christ. And today, we're going to look at the light of the fellowship. And again, relationship is something you are born into by parent to child. With us, we are born into our relationship with our Heavenly Father through the blood of His Son. Amen. And we are not servants or slaves. We are children. We are sons and daughters of God who do serve, yes, of course. But, you know, our works had no bearing on our relationship. You can't work your way to heaven, Acts 13:39, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. I have people in my family who feel that you must do the law to get to Jesus. That is not true. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's called the Hebrew Roots Movement. There's other groups that think you have to do the work to get to Jesus. That's not how things operate. It's not how God does things in His kingdom. So tonight, we do also need to define the term. We define what fellowship is. We define what relationship is. But tonight, I want to define what sin is. It's not what people think. When you go to work tomorrow and you say, "What is sin?" They'll smirk or they won't know or they'll think it's a loaded question. But the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it's falling short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. How? We fell short of the glory of God. And in 1 John chapter 5, you're right here in 1 John, look at it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Well, who gets to determine what's right? Well, the person who made everything, right? I mean, He made it. It's His universe. He gets to decide, right? I mean, people live like God don't have a say. All unrighteousness, all things that God says is not right, is sin. It's kind of, maybe we ought to figure out what sin is then, right? First, or in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, 11, and 12, if you're following along, let's look at what sin is. Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now again, brothers and sisters, when you're reading the Bible, with any topic, read everything the Bible says about that topic. Because as you travel throughout your life and the Lord moves you to new duty stations or to new jobs in new cities, you're going to run into something called Reformed theology. It's just Calvinism repackaged with a fancier, more intelligent sounding name. It's still garbage because they take this little piece of verse. There's none that seeketh after God. Well, aren't you glad that God took the initiative? Didn't we learn that Sunday? God always takes the initiative. That doesn't mean you can't respond when God takes the initiative to you. And that's what Calvinism teaches, unless God's calling, and God calls everybody, but you get what I'm saying. Calvinism's garbage. I'll preach a whole message on it another time. They are all gone out of the way. That's everybody. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, what do you mean, that sin? Well, in Ezekiel 36:17, it talks about us going our own way. God said this, but we're like, thanks, we'll go this way. God says, this is what you should be doing. And we're going to, no, we're going to do what's right in our own eyes. What is that? Idolatry. That's me lifting myself up above the authority of God and saying, no, I'll be God for a day. Thank you. Or I'll be a God for this day. Maybe not tomorrow. I'm not that kind of a Christian, you know. But definitely for right now, that's sin. James 4:17, you might find interesting. Take your Bible, go to James. It's back there by 1 John. It's right after Hebrews. James chapter 4 and verse 17. What is sin? Well, James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you really think it's an ignorance problem with most people? No, they know what's right. But when they fail to do right, because we do what we want, it's sin. And in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, who commits sin? All of us. Every one of us. None of us are exempt. None of us are excluded. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23. All believers commit sin. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, how then is it even possible that we as sinners can be in fellowship with God? Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where it starts. You know that, right? I'm looking at the faces of people who have a testimony of knowing Jesus and being saved. So you know that. We're born again by the blood of Christ into a relationship with God, just like you were born by the blood of your parents into your relationship with your parents. Now that you're in a relationship, how well you get along with your Heavenly Father, it works the same way it did when you lived at home. How well do you obey and be respectful? Right? Isn't that what we want out of our kids? We're in a relationship with them. Once they're born, you give birth to that kid's yours. I said, Mama, look, we have a baby boy. She goes, no, that baby boy's got you. That's what she said to me. And right, because we're in a relationship now. And it doesn't matter how he behaves. He can't break that relationship. But how well we get along is determined by how well he obeys and is respectful. It's the same thing with us and God. How can a holy, thrice holy God be in fellowship with a Christian? Well, number one, it starts by salvation. Number two, we have to realize that who it is we're walking in fellowship with. Look at 1 John chapter 1 as we get into the message tonight, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He is light. It's in him. It's through him. And what God does is light. You know, a good example is Psalm 139, where the psalmist says, you've been behind me and in front of me and around me and above me and below me. You know where I've been. You know what I'm thinking. You know the words before they ever come out my tongue. You know, darkness has no fellowship with light, and darkness may be around, but it's not in our Father in heaven. And light is the basis for sight. Listen to what John 3 says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. When presented with the gospel, when people realize hell's real, I have had men, big grown men, I presented the gospel at their kitchen table, and they're shaking under conviction, and they still tell me, no. Like when the Apostle Paul was in front of Agrippa, and he says, Festus? It doesn't matter. He was in Festus and Agrippa. You almost convinced me. He trembled. Nah, it's because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I had a question from someone here yesterday while I was out soul winning, and they're like, well, listen, you know, why is it that you know, everybody can be discriminate? You can't discriminate against anybody else but born again Christians. Why is it they're the why is it open season? And I said, well, because when you live right and do right, it makes a lost person feel a little self-conscious because they know what right is. And you say, why aren't you judging? No, I used to be a lost person. And I used to mock Christians. And I used to pick at Christians. And I used to insult Christians. Why? Because I felt bad about my sin. I didn't want to do anything about it at the time. But that's why your Christian or your non-Christian friends will sometimes mock you and pick at you and insult you, and especially on the job. Why? Because your light exposes their sin, and they love their sin more than they want to be part of the light. Just know what you're dealing with. Doesn't make you special. Doesn't make you better person than they are. It just means that's why you're dealing with that. Verse 21 of John 3 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is why some people avoid reading the Bible, is because staring God in the face, eye to eye, and seeing what it says sometimes, they know. That's why a lot of times they'll avoid church. That's why they like, you know, sometimes it's better. Have you ever watched, like, binge watched a show, and here comes the boring part, so you just kind of fast forward? I wonder if that's what happens online when folks watch on TV. Now, I'm not picking on folks online. I love you. But seriously, oh, gosh, he got on sin. Okay, let's just, okay. Now we're back on the happy stuff again, right? Just wait and just kind of slide that dot. The light of God symbolizes his purity, his love, his truth, his holiness, his righteousness. Now, we see the conditions of our walk here in verse 6. If we, it's up to us. God doesn't make you do anything. It's up to us. If we say words only, verse 6, we're lying. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if our actions don't line up with our words, we're lying. That's what it says. We lie. We're lying. And do not the truth. You know, in a husband-wife relationship, I appreciate you telling me, but show me. Let your actions line up with your words. Verse 7, if we walk and have action, fellowship is attained. Look, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we confess and by action, then our sins are forgiven. Look, verse number 8. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But saying words only makes God a liar. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, wait a minute, God's called us a sinner. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his words His word is not in us. This was one of the big problems that the Pharisees had with Jesus. Because outwardly, they had everything right. They looked right, they walked right, they talked right, they smelled right. I mean, they did everything right outwardly. And Jesus was calling on their sin, their judgment, their hate, their disrespect, their lack of compassion. Remember what I talked about Sunday. You can be part of a false religion and do all kinds of things, but never become something and still be right with that false religion. You don't have to change anything on the inside, as long as the outside lines up. And you know, there's even some Baptist churches I've been in where the standards of separation were so high that I don't even know how the pastor made it. You know what I'm saying? I just, you can do all the things outwardly right and still be wrong on the heart and still not be right with your Savior. That's the key. If we're going to walk in fellowship, remember, we're sinners. And even though we're sinners, we can walk in fellowship with God. First, because the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin. But also because if we choose to walk with him, we're never going to be sinlessly perfect till we get to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. There's no such thing as this holiness concept that you're all going to, we get a little more light, we get a little more light, we get a little more light, and all of a sudden we're sinless. No, that's not how that works. But we as children can walk in fellowship just like your children can walk in fellowship with you. They're still dirty, rotten little sinners. Well, the mixed kids are dirty, rotten little sinners. Maybe not your kids, but mine are, right? But we can still walk in fellowship even though we sin. Verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Fellowship is not possible if I'm going my own way. Isn't that what fellowship is? Is going God's way, being in agreement. Isn't that what I read for you? Constantly being in the knowledge of his will, being right in the middle of his will, agreeing with his design, having that mutual affection, enjoying his presence, conforming to his image, participating in his blessing. You understand, fellowship is possible if I go God's way, if I'm doing it with him. My problem is so many times I've got my own agenda and my own idea, so I'm trying to get God on board with what I'm doing. You ever wonder why God took Enoch? Because Enoch walked with God and let God lead. We're still trying to get God inside our car so he can go with us, and we'll feel better about ourselves, and we have our good luck charm with us because he's going with us. No, God would rather lead and let us go with him. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what agreement, what accord hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How do those two go together? And what communion hath light with darkness? I mean, we claim to have fellowship, but continue to walk in darkness, choosing. You know, people say to me, well, I know what the Bible says. And then there's those three-letter word that negates everything he just said. Anytime they use the word but in a sentence, everything that came before it is wiped clean when you use the word but. I know what the Bible says. Obviously, you don't. Obviously, you don't. You know, we're going to be in heaven a whole lot longer than we are on this earth. Right? We're going to be with God, and the person we become here is who we spend time, is who God gets to spend time with. Who are we becoming? Well, if we'll walk in fellowship with God, we are open to let God grow us and mold us and shape us. But if we constantly pull against him and say, no, you need to come with me and do it my way and get in my life and go along with me, that's not how that works. We're walking in darkness. Why? Because we're not walking with him. Our conduct sometimes can disprove the claim that we have fellowship. Because why? Because our goals sometimes are selfish, and sometimes our motives are self-focused and they're not God's. Think about it. I had a lady in our church in Illinois, and just a wonderful gal. She's in heaven now. But for 20 years, she prayed that her husband would get saved. For 20 years. But one day, she went to a ladies' retreat, and it dawned on her how selfish her prayer was. Because she wanted God to save her husband so that they could have the picture-perfect, Saturday Evening Post kind of family. She wanted her husband saved so that they could have those dinners and those things in their life. There's nothing wrong with that. But it wasn't for the sake that God wanted him to be saved, that God would be glorified, that God would make a change. It's unfair. It's selfish for me to go, God, save my spouse because they're so rotten and stinking and make my life hell. Save them, oh God. Sounds spiritual, but it's selfish. God, you understand that? So walking in fellowship means I'm lining my motives up with his. See, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So when I delight myself in the Lord, my heart lines up with God's heart, and I'm getting the things God wants because my heart's in line with God's, and I want what God wants. And what God gives me then is blessed and wonderful. But all the time, sometimes you read that verse and you think to yourself, I'm delighting in you, oh God, I'm looking for my Beamer, or my Audi or my Escalade. God, please, my heart's with you, God. Give me an Escalade. No, delight thyself in the Lord. Want what he wants for the reason he wants it. And all of a sudden, you're in this new state of fellowship with God. Because it's not about checking boxes. It's about hearts that are in alignment. It's about an intimacy. Remember Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, I told you that God, he initiates with us, then he gives us instructions on how to have intimacy with him, but he's left that instruction as an invitation for us to respond and go, yes, Lord, and get in step with him. So the fellowship tonight here is walking in the light. Look at verse number 7. But if, it's up to us. If we choose to walk in the light as he is in the light, man, boy, that could go a whole 100 different ways. They'll all be good applications. I mean, you need to underline that, chew on that tomorrow in your devotions. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if I'm going where he goes and go what and do what he wants, we have fellowship one with another. I'm in fellowship with him. I'm at one with him. I'm in accord. I'm in harmony. I'm at peace with him. Me and God are good. How long has it been since you said that? How long has it been since you realized, hey, I feel different? Why? Because me and God are good. You know, me and God are good. I had somebody leave the other day from the church and go, you know, I don't like going to a church where I feel bad about my sin. I said, well, I understand. I know. Feel, felt, found. I'm going to help you now, okay? Feel, felt, found. What do you say? I know how you feel. I felt the same way too. But when I come down here and confess my sin and get right with God, I leave here rejoicing. Amen. Yeah, they found someplace else to go. I'm pastor so bad, I know. But if we walk in the light, listen, I'm not talking about judicial justification. I'm not talking about the initial salvation here. That's not what John is talking about. John wrote this letter to Christians. It was to be copied and sent throughout the known world. In Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's judicial justification. And I'm not speaking about positional sanctification either. In Hebrews 10:10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctification differs from justification in several ways. Justification being that one-time event. That positional sanctification is a one-time event, but progressive daily sanctification is a process of me walking with God, lining up my heart with him, my motives with him, being in step, in harmony with his process, with his goals, with his motives. Nothing, there's an old hymn, nothing between myself and the Savior. There's nothing at odds between the two of us. Ladies understand this better than men do. Ladies will have at least one or two close friends, and if something gets misspoken or something gets forgotten or maybe it's a little offense here or there, they will confront each other and say, hey, do you mean anything by that? Oh, no, I'm sorry, okay. Then we're back and good. Guys will blow it off. We don't actually address it. We just blow it off and don't ever. Ladies seem to have a better understanding of fellowship sometimes with each other than us guys do. Why? Because it's about talking, it's about connecting with your heart and your mind and your will and your emotions and your motives and your intentions, your purposes. But again, it comes back to, but if we walk in the light, God is letting us choose. Now in Ephesians 5:8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's a process. It's a daily thing. And how do we do? I need to walk in his light. I need to walk in his presence. Is there certain things you're hoping God won't bring up when you pray? Or is that why you just kind of, you run through your prayer list like a rapid fire machine gun because you're afraid he'll get a word in? Oh, God will get a word in, but it usually come from the voice of your boss or your enemy or your kids. He'll get a word in. Verse 7, but if we walk as he is in the light, Colossians 2:6, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, the thing about light is when we get close to God, it's true. There are certain things that, well, everything gets revealed. Everything. And the question is, do you understand that even though it may seem a little embarrassing now, but when God already knows it's there, The only person who doesn't know it's there, well, everybody knows it's there most of the time. You just don't want to admit it. And when we get close to God, yes, his light reveals things that are down in the murky parts of our heart that aren't right with him, that need to be confessed. But once they're confessed, it's done. There's no dragging it around. There's no digging it back up again. I once heard a funny story about a man who got bit by a dog. Bless his heart, got bit by a dog. Now, don't get offended. This is a story. It never really happened. But he got bit by the dog. And they had to put the dog down. So he buried the dog in the backyard. But it took a while for the wound to heal. But every time he'd take a walk and that ache in that wound would happen, and he kind of went, he'd go out there and dig that dog up and beat that dog again. And then bury it. And then the next day he'd be out for a walk and there'd be pain in his leg, and he'd go back there and dig that old carcass up and beat it again. Put it back in the ground. And sometimes you and I, we deal with sin that way. Sometimes we deal with bitterness that way. Sometimes we let things remind us of the pain of the loss or the discouragement or the betrayal, and we dig that carcass back up and beat it again rather than leaving it buried under the blood. That's where you got to leave it. It's hard to walk in fellowship when you're dragging around dead carcasses of dead dogs that have bit you in the past. It's hard. The main function of God's light is to reveal things in our life. But once we confess them and let go of them, the burden is off. Some people, that's why when they do come to church, they don't sit in the preaching. Now, you're my peoples. You're here on a Wednesday night. You could have been at the grocery store. You could have been at the gym. Why, you could have been at Chili's having the smokehouse special. But instead, you chose to be here. So I love you. But it ought to concern you when someone in your family would rather serve in hospitality or the nursery or someplace. And I know I'm cutting a little close to the skin tonight, but I love you. But never wants to sit in here. You want your kids saved? Junior church got cut off at fourth grade for a reason. Because they're old enough and smart enough to get saved up here at big church. Okay? Not that junior church is playtime. It's not. They get preached to. They get the gospel. They get the real deal downstairs. But sometimes it's hard to hide from the Holy Spirit when you're stuck between mom and dad in the middle of a pew. And over the past 12 years, we've seen them come and we've seen them go. Where they come, they work the nursery, they go home. Praise God for that. But they never get any preaching. They work hospitality, but they never get any preaching. They come on Sunday night, drop their kids for Awana, but they never get any preaching. They feel good about themselves because they feel good about what they're doing for their kid. But you need to ask yourself, what is it I really want God to do? What am I afraid of if I just let God have me? What am I afraid of? He knows what's best. He wants what's best. And to walk in fellowship means I need to let him take the things out of my life that don't belong and put back into my life the things that do. What are you afraid of? You know, we trust the doctor to open up our guts and take stuff out. Right? You know, they only practice. They don't actually are perfect at this. Right? Come on. I mean, they're just practicing. All right? But I got to tell you, if I got to get a knee replaced, I don't want to be the next medical journal article on the final save. I want to be a textbook. Oh, man, we did it right every time for 1,000 times. You know, and I never want to have my knee replaced on a Monday or a Tuesday after a three-day weekend. Okay? I need it to be their 10,000th knee. And they do it right every time. That's what I need. Why? We trust doctors to open up our guts, but we won't trust God and open up our hearts. That just don't make sense to me. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody tonight. I'm not perfect at this. But what am I actually afraid of? We laugh, and when Miss Mix and I will have a disagreement, and we'll call it extreme fellowship. Extreme fellowship. Where, how many of you had extreme fellowship this week where you and the spouse were got a little vehement? You know what I'm saying? And you know, I remember, what is it God said about Lot, that they vexed his righteous soul from day to day? I say that to my wife, oh, you vex me. You vex me. Vexing fellowship. What are we afraid of? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, isn't that what the Bible says? We have fellowship one with another, and that light will reveal things. But if we let him have it, if we turn it over to him, if we let go of it, then we are in fellowship with God. Who knows what God could do? Amen. Is that why you don't have an impossible prayer list? I've been challenged since we were at men's prayer advance to have an impossible prayer list. A prayer that is ludicrous if it wasn't for God I was asking. When's the last time you asked for something big? I mean big. I mean bigger than your expense account can handle. Bigger than your FICA score can handle. When's the last time you asked for something that is completely outside of your abilities? That if God doesn't do it, there is just no way it's going to happen. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if I'm patterning myself after Christ, when I step out, I step back in, we have fellowship, accord, agreement. I'm in the center of his will. I'm experiencing his blessings. I am at harmony with him. That's what it means. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We must be in fellowship with him. There is just no other way to live your life. There is just no other way. And I'm skipping a bunch of stuff tonight. Look at verse number 8. Many people self-deceive. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, I don't know how you would apply that, but I meet a ton of people who say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Really? That's great. What church do you go to? Oh, well, you know. It's, you know, the one on Braddock. Oh, yeah, I've driven by there. It's a beautiful place. What's the name of the preacher down there? I need to stop in and say hi. Well, no. If we are going to see God move in your life, I mean, seriously, if you want to see God show up, show off, and show out, then we got to walk with him. We got to stop fooling ourselves that calling it in as a Christian is going to be enough. Now, I'm not talking about works here. I'm talking about motives and intention and conditions of our hearts. I'm never going to come to your house and look at your cabinets. I'm never going to come to your house and check your streaming service. I'm never going to come to your house and check. It's none of my business what's in your search history. That's not my business. I'm not God's law enforcement agent. I'm here to challenge you and encourage you that something bigger, something better, something beyond anything you've ever experienced before in your life is not only accessible, God is wanting you to have it, but he's not going to give it to us until we walk in fellowship with him. He's just not going to do it. You don't do it with your kids, do you? When you're not in fellowship with your kids, maybe you had intense fellowship with your kid today. And you just don't feel like, you know, they're ready for the blessing that you would have done had they had the right attitude, asked with the right tone. Do you not have that problem at your house? It's just at my house? Is that how that works? Amen. Come on. Let's be honest. There's something better, bigger. And I'm not trying to sell you like Jesus is a timeshare here, okay? I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you that we live below the level of mediocrity. We live below the level of blessing that God really wanted for us because we've chosen a comfortable level of sin. A comfortable level of sin. Most of you have good jobs and have security clearances or had them in the past, and you have weeded out the really outwardly stupid things in your life. outward sin. I had somebody ask me the other day. They said to me, they said, you know, well, I won't even go down that road. But anyway, just you've weeded some of that stupidity out your life. But it's the stuff inside that nobody else sees that God says, you know what, it's still locking me up from letting you have the intimacy with me, the oneness with me, the harmony with me, the passion with me. It's still mucking up the works. It's still all like gooey. It's still like, would you just let it go? Would you just go to God and lay it on the altar and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to lick this thing. I got this problem in my life, and I don't know how I'm going to beat it. But the Bible says you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So I'm claiming that verse tonight. God, I want all that you have for me, for your glory and my good. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I don't think any of us have arrived at the place in our walk with God where we're just, no, I'm good. I'm full. You know, God, no, there's still room for more. Well, how do I fix it? Verse 9, if we confess our sins. Now, this is the part. For some people, it's easy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is we get a little too flagrant with the use of God's grace. Because we know God's going to forgive us. We know God's going to forgive us. We know this verse is a promise in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is faithful. He'll do it every time. He's just. Why? Because the blood of Christ has separated us from our sin, past, present, and future. He forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Don't misuse God's grace. Confess it. Agree with God. Agree with God that it's sin. That's where it starts. Agree. Whatever God brings up, just agree with him because he's right about it. You know he's right about it. And then in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And I don't think that's our problem. I mean, the Pharisees and the publicans were different in Luke 18. The Pharisee couldn't confess his sin, couldn't admit he had a problem. But he looked at everybody else and saw their problems. In Luke 18, you had the rich young ruler. Who couldn't see past his stuff. He was just adding Jesus to more of his stuff. Verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Don't sin. Don't. None of us are perfect. I get that. But we do what we want to do. And if any man sin, praise the Lord, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's why we can come boldly under the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We can come straight through Jesus to the Father and ask for grace. God, this is wrong. I know it's wrong. I'm no longer going to cover it up. I'm no longer going to justify it by saying, well, it's not that bad. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I need you to free me from it. I need your grace to free me from it. I write unto you, you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That's why we get stuck in a rut. A rut is just a grave with the end kicked out. That's all it is. It's still just a grave. But look here. It says in verse 2, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So how do I do this? How do I walk in fellowship with God? Well, I got to be willing to die to self. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. I know where my sin problem is. You know where your sin problem is. You know. We know. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Die to self and be filled with the Spirit. I want to walk in fellowship with God. I know there's more to God than I've experienced so far. I know there's more to his blessing. I know there's more to his kingdom. I know there's more to be useful in his kingdom for his glory. I know there's more. I know there's so much more than I've experienced. And I can tell you, the problem is not on his side of the equation. The problem is right here. So I need to die to self and be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What do you mean, don't sin, in verse number one there? He says that you sin not. Don't sin. How do I do that? Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Again, fellowship is being in the middle of His will, in agreement with His design. Fellowship is having that mutual affection. That means reciprocating the affection He has toward us. Enjoying His presence as He enjoys ours. Allowing Him to conform us to His image and participating in the blessings. I pray, Father, tonight that You would forgive us for our stubborn spirits and our hard hearts. And Father, so many times we get so busy in our day, and I know that's an excuse, but we get so busy and we forget, God, that immediate comfort has long-lasting shame. Father, please, let us be comforted by Your Spirit, by the knowledge that we are in the middle of Your will, that there's nothing between us that needs to be resolved, for we confess it as soon as You convict us of it. As soon as it's brought to our attention, we confess it and step back in fellowship with You. And tonight, God, as we pray, point out the things we need to let go of. Point out the things that are holding the fellowship back from being sweet and unified. Father, please, the things that are keeping us, point at them and let us give them to You. And let us take on the things that You desire for us to have. For Your honor and glory and our good, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Phil plays some music, there are time to pray. There's time now. Won't you let God have His way with you? So many times we desire good things, but we do it for our own reasons. Tonight, won't you let God have His way? As we tarry for these, there's time for you. Won't you come? Our Father and our God, we do love you. And tonight, God, we claim your promise. And Father, tonight we ask for your will to be perfected in us. And Father, do it in such a way that all glory and praise goes to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.